Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. Time now for Why It Matters, where we put the spotlight on Singapore's manufacturing sector.
Well, apparently, according to official data, Singapore's manufacturing output declined for the first time in almost a year in September. Factory output fell 3.4% year-on-year in September. This was after growing a revised 11% in August. And of course, this actually comes as a big surprise because we've all been talking about how transformation has been accelerated in this sector and we've seen many new manufacturing businesses set up shop in the country. So what's really happened? What's really behind this?
Singaporean manufacturers have transformed the way they operate. They're using technology extensively to automate production to enhance their value chains. What are the implications here for the manufacturing sector and what kind of risks and threats should we watch out for? Let's find out more from Kevin Stevens, Head of Industry Practices at Chubb. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm very good, thank you. Yep.
Let's talk about that official data that we highlighted at the start. Singapore's manufacturing output declining for the first time in almost a year in September. To set things in context, could you share with us some of the factors that caused this decline?
Well, that's a good question. I think it was probably a little bit unexpected, but it's probably a ramifications of just the market that we're in currently, especially around some of the impacts that we've been seeing to the supply chains, knock-on effect from things like the Suez Canal blockage, and therefore the inability for companies to be able to knock-on effect of disruptions to their supply, and therefore stockpiling, and therefore that backing up into the manufacturing industry about getting their product out.
Some people have said that, look, we did see the industry go through accelerated transformation during this period, but obviously the accelerated transformation hasn't been good enough to neutralize some of these risks, right, that you have mentioned, things like supply chain issues. So what really is needed here in order to ensure that such risks are not such great risks that they would actually cause a substantial impact on growth?
I mean, back to the basics, I think. So looking for companies to really look at essentially a risk management plan and then having that risk management plan sort of tested. So things that they can think about would be looking at key components or key inventory that they have and then perform sort of scenario simulation analysis on how they obtain that part or whether they can put in place alternative suppliers. We've seen a lot of companies looking at onshoring or nearshoring rather than relying on suppliers in distant territories to try and shorten and lessen that disruption of the supply chains. But also when we think about situations like the pipeline hack in the US that has sort of significant impact on what we call systemic risk, so impacting a multitude of customers. Looking at cyber defenses, we've seen a lot of technology introduced into our manufacturers because of the Industry 4.0, and as a result, they need to become more resilient against cyber attack, and therefore they can implement better protection for the organizations around some of these cyber exposures.
And Kevin, obviously, speed comes to mind, how fast you implement all of this to tackle the risk and threats. Could you dive a little bit deeper and expand more about the new risk and threats that we see today and the cost if we do not address these soon enough?
Okay, so I think for some of the new risks, I talked about cyber, that's one aspect. I think for manufacturers, they're certainly much more interconnected in today's world. We're looking at more automated ordering or supply. We see sort of just-in-time inventory and turnaround times have shrunk. So supply is critical. So interruption to the supply chain, interruption to the production line presents definite risk to the organizations. I mean, failure to meet contractor requirements or contract demands for manufacturers could lead their customers to be short of product, lost opportunity, and therefore create a financial risk against our manufacturer, where we've seen companies being sued for not being able to deliver on their promises and provide product. but also like just that supply chain and vendor-based sort of cyber attacks. If you've got interconnected systems, then it's attractive for cyber criminals to perhaps gain access, unauthorized access to one of your suppliers, and then utilize that trusted pathway to potentially cause damage to our manufacturer or other threats to potential customers that our insured is connected to.
You've mentioned cyber risks several times already. As the sector increasingly digitalizes, how should manufacturers actually approach their security position in order to guard against these threats?
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I think generally across all businesses, we're seeing an increased level of awareness of cyber attack. And I think it's become a board or top level management down sort of responsibility to make sure that it's not just an issue to do with the IT departments. It's actually across the entire organization. And that means employee training and employee education. So making everybody aware that this is a serious exposure and can impact the balance sheet of the organization, but also bring the business to a grinding halt. So unauthorized access to the operational technology and the factory lines can really stop production altogether. We've also seen impacts to sort of cloud-based systems where ordering has been unable to be sort of identified, and therefore production has had to cease until they can get back up and running their production processes. But I think some of the things that an organization can do, particularly in manufacturing, is look at sort of the separation of their IT systems from their operational systems. Most cyber, we think about them attacking the IT system through their emails, through phishing attacks, and then gaining access to IT. But if there's separation to the operational system, then it's harder for the unauthorized access or the cyber criminals to gain access to the factory floor. And sort of protections around access, we see a lot of people now working from home. And so that creates more entry points into a corporate network and into the manufacturing network. So multi-factor authentication is probably a standard requirement now for all organizations. And then looking at more sort of endpoint or device protection, such as the antivirus and firewalls, and then scanning of those aspects of the endpoints. Regular patching is critical too. So there's a lot of common vulnerabilities and exposures that people or companies become aware of. They're publicized, and making sure that all software is regularly updated. And if there's critical patches, that they're not left too long to remediate those solutions that are being used. Strong passwords. Everybody has multiple passwords and access to systems, and making sure that different passwords are used for work and personal, and that they're strong and robust.
Kevin, this is a bit of a left field question. I want to dive into the area of sustainability in the manufacturing industry. But my question is, with this push for sustainability, is there any risk or threat involved? Is there a case where things are, say, lost in transition in that sense?
I haven't come across it being lost in transition. The sustainability I've seen, obviously, there's moral or corporate requirements to be more sustainable. And I think particularly the public companies are reporting to their investors about their environmental plan and their sustainability. And that pushes down into the supply chain to all their suppliers, including the manufacturers. And so manufacturers have to try and keep up, whether that's looking at a more sustainable product or ingredients or materials that are used in their product, or their use of power and renewable resources to run the factories. And then also we're seeing impact on end-of-life recycling or end-of-product disposal becoming important considerations, especially those products that include electronics, because those electronics will have some harmful materials or some rare materials that have the ability for reuse. And so companies are looking to protect their brand, because the last thing they want to see is their name on a significant amount of product that's on the rubbish heap.
What more do you think can be done to persuade manufacturers to become more sustainable, more cleaner and greener going forward?
I think, it's a greater awareness of alternative power, of looking at how to reduce, become more efficient and less reliant on use of power. So we've seen a lot of organizations that have retrofitted light bulbs and lighting for more LED or more efficient sort of use of electricity, better management of air conditioning and air flows to reduce the drag on the grid. and then also building systems and becoming more efficient. The use of Internet of Things, IoT, for better management of airflow and efficient use of the production line.
Kevin, what's the next biggest upcoming trend you foresee heading into 2022 for the manufacturing sector?
I think it's obviously it's the greater implementation of more electronics and more technology into their factory floor, becoming more efficient, producing more product, and sort of reducing the turnaround times. But I think also just the manufacturing companies, I think, are broadening their services rather than just making the product, manufacturing the product. If they're a contract manufacturer, they may be broadening into more design and providing influence into the products they're making on behalf of their clients. We're seeing sort of wider services where companies are looking to start providing maintenance services. I think with the greater digitalization, it accelerates new product development and opens up opportunities for manufacturers to look at predictive maintenance or gather greater valuable information that can influence innovation in the next generation of products. And I think with that, it increases exposures to sort of financial loss and a greater cost to the manufacturer if these services fail or don't work or present unauthorized access opportunities to cyber criminals. So something they need to consider protecting.
You see, I've also heard a lot of businesses say that there are costs involved, right, in getting protection against some of the risks and the threats that you just mentioned as well. So how do you convince them that, you know, this is definitely worth putting money into, protection?
Protection. Well, I think every company needs to consider how they protect their balance sheet and also, I guess, a protection against the opportunity lost. So insurance is one of those things where a business or a manufacturer can transfer their risk from their balance sheet to the insurer and therefore protect them, protect their solvency. Insurance does vary in cost and depends on the type of product. So with that, I think insurance is not necessarily intended to be a working type policy. It's really that to protect the catastrophe and protect that business for the unfortunate event, that bad day in the office type scenario that really does divert the focus of the organization for severe, say, cyber attacks or significant lawsuits against the organization will divert key employees, especially in the SME community or the mid-sized companies, away from their day-to-day business and focus to deal with a lawsuit, to deal with an incident that's going to impact their business significantly.
Oh, definitely going to check back with you next year, Kevin, to see whether these things come true and if the industry is keeping up the speed. Kevin Stevens, Head of Industry Practices at Chubb, on the line with us this morning for Why It Matters. Kevin, you take care and stay safe.
Great, thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.